Our Father, we receive today insight into your word. We bless you. Thank you for granting us wisdom to accurately discern and distinguish the truth that is found in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for there is no error or contradiction in this meeting, in our minds, in our words. We have precision and clarity in all our minds. Behold Jesus Christ, your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Said hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 to 3. We want to look at the subject, Christ the Healer. Firstly, it's a book written by a man named F.F. Bosworth. A man I respect a whole lot. And taught by Kenneth Hagin as well. So it's a subject that needs to be well understood. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 to 3. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, he says, wherein you are saved. Again, this is one of the challenges of the verses. It is here, you are saved if you keep in memory. Now, wherein you are saved. But then, if you keep in your mind what I have preached unto you, otherwise, you have believed in vain. That is, and if you observe what he's talking about believing in vain, is about to address a doctrine that says there is no resurrection. So then he addresses that in verse 14 and 17. If it is true there is no resurrection, he says in 14, then our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. In 17 he says, then you are in your sins. So that is the reason why he said, except you have believed in vain, that is, if you have not understood and accustomed yourself to what I taught you, and you are allowing yourself to be swayed by those who say there's no resurrection, then that means we have believed in vain. He didn't say, well, if you don't keep what I've taught you, you have believed in vain, you are no longer saved. That's not what he said. Is that clear? And I warned you about verses, right? Verses themselves are interpretations. And so you sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong. But here, obviously, it was wrong. Then verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now observe that what he is reinforcing is a prophecy about Christ, all right, detailing that he has been raised from the dead. But I want you to notice a fact that must not be lost. And that is verse 5. He was seen of Cephas and of the 12. If he was not seen of Cephas and the 12, then we have no basis to believe verse 4. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying here now. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying. So part of the gospel that Paul preached was obviously the fulfillment of scriptures by eyewitness account. There will be no Christ to preach if no Christ came at all. And there will be no Christ if nobody saw him at all. In other words, that means the humanity of Jesus is a vital truth of the gospel. If there's no humanity of Jesus, there can't be a death. There can't be a burial. There can't be a resurrection. And so that's an important ingredient in the gospel itself. And Paul made that very clear. All right. So having said that, so that account of Christ, because we must know he is Christ also by his humanity. Paul says, he made him sin who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Him knowing no sin will be his humanity. Peter says there was no guile found in his mouth. 1 Peter 2:21. 22, 23 says, he was reviled, did not revile back. They abused him, he didn't abuse back. And then he says, because there was no sin. There was no cause of death found in him. Paul said that. That must be Acts 13. Let me get that quickly. That must be Acts 13, verse 28. There was no cause of death. And that's why he is called sinless. That's why he is called, he knew no sin. So there was a lesson and a truth in his humanity. You couldn't have jumped from Malachi to Romans. He just moved from Malachi to Romans. I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Who is that? So there was a vital ingredient and truth in that humanity. Obviously, no doubt, that humanity is understood by Revelation. Matthew 16:16, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, even though his humanity required revelation. John 1, verse 10, he came to the world, even though the world was made by him, the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. So, his humanity required revelation, but his humanity is a vital fact of the gospel. Does it make any sense? 2 Peter chapter 1. Don't forget we're looking at Christ the healer. 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's Peter now. Verse 16. We have not followed, Peter, cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now the word coming there is a word parousia, which means talks about presence. It's also used for what we call the rapture. It's used for his humanity, also used for the rapture. For example, when you hear, we're holy and blameless in his sight. It's not like in his eyesight. That's not what it means. You know, we say, we're holy and blameless in his sight. That is his sight, not before him. We say we're holy and blameless before him again. It's not like we're standing before his presence. Some of those things are quite old expressions, and that requires some panel beating to make them sense, make me applicable today. Now, here he says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. The word there is the word sophizo, where you have, he has made thee wise. The one Paul used for Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15. It means to be smart. So Jesus is not just a figure of someone's imagination. Obviously, he is a historical figure. There's a historical fact about Christ. Because if there's no history about Christ, then every truth about him will be a lie. And so here, he says, were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We'll examine that somehow. So, he says we haven't tried to create an impression. There was a truth about him. So the humanity of Jesus is important to us. But the difference here is that we're not going to read the humanity of Jesus without the revelation of Jesus. Does it make sense? Alright, so that's the difference. But this humanity is important to the truth that we preach. And so, hear this. In Acts 13, Acts 13, verse 24. Look at how Paul preached in Acts 13. Acts 13, 24. So, are we all on the same page? That the life of Jesus is a message in itself, right? Come on, guys. Are you with me? The life of Jesus is a message in itself. Acts 13, 24. Now, Paul was beckoned on to preach or to speak in the synagogue from verse 17. Then he got to 24 and he says, when John at first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. Can you see the word coming there? Cannot be the birth of Jesus. That means he's appearing to men. Obviously, because John was born basically less than a year before Jesus was born. So, and John did not preach before Jesus was born. But he preached before Jesus preached. So it says before his coming. Then he says to all the people. Then he says, as John fulfilled this course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I'm not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to loose. Now look at 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. He uses the word logos. The logos of this salvation. Logos means what you can call a thought. A thought. A system. A belief. An idea. To use the word of this salvation sent. Then he says, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets. That word there is the word phone in the Greek, P-H-O-N-E, is used for dialect. That is a mode of communication of the prophets. That is, there was a particular communication of the prophets that amidst many things they said, these guys did not know it. So he said, you didn't see it. And that means the prophets had spoken about the humanity of Jesus. It was inspired by God for men to know it. So he mentions that. That the humanity of Jesus was spoken by the prophets. And that it required revelation as well to see. So that said, in Acts 10, so the humanity of Jesus was a core part of the gospel. Because it's his humanity that his death confirms. And of course his resurrection. Now listen to this. Look at Acts 10, earlier than this, earlier before this. As Peter, from verse 36. The word which God sent, or sent on children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He says he is Lord of all. The word there is again logos. That is a thought, an idea, a set of facts. Then he says that word, then he changes it to rhema. That word, you know, which was published. Now, by using rhema, it means words. Obviously, by using rhema now, he's deferring not just to Jesus now, but even to his disciples. Because Jesus sent his disciples to go around and publish his ministry by preaching. So he says, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So obviously, this includes what they preached. So, they went around and they published. It can't be Jesus who published. They went around and published. And what did they publish? What was being said around? What was the message in the words that was being said around? Verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Again, the verses there should have stopped there. With the Holy Ghost. Then, and with power, is not, he's anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. No. Anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Separate those two statements. With power. Heal the sick. And all that were oppressed of the devil. So, a message of Christ is his healing ministry. His humanity is a core truth. His healing ministry, what he did to the sick, and what he did about sickness, is part of his humanity. You cannot talk about his humanity without his inclination, without his temptation. The writer of Hebrews says he was tempted at all points. Hebrews 4:15. You can't talk about that and not talk about humanity. He was human. And so if you're talking about his humanity, you also must talk about his ministry. It was a core part of it. If you read the book of Acts very well, Acts 2 sermon, Acts 3 sermon, from verse 13, 14, 15. Acts 2 from about verse 23, 22, 23, 24. Acts 5 from verse 30, 31. You see a reinforcement of the fact that you all knew or you all know what Jesus did. There was no denial to it. So, he's saying here that a core story, or better still, a core fact about Jesus in his humanity is that he went about with power and he healed the sick and all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, sometimes you could know a person and not know other things about the person. There's some things that may be strange. I call somebody was saying, I follow pastor a lot, that's myself, I listen to him a lot, and all that, then it's fine. So he came one day on my page, on Facebook. I said, he saw a picture, and then he saw me wear a shoe that had an Arsenal logo. He said, does pastor support Arsenal? Now, it's a little bit difficult for that kind of person to say he really listens to me a lot. Now, I'm not joking here. So, but then there's sometimes you know someone. I remember I went to Southern Africa some 20 years ago. And they thought speaking in tongues was a height in Christianity. And all I simply showed them was he's the same Christ who saves, forgives, who heals your body, and fills you with the Holy Ghost. Some guys, all they will know is he forgives. Some guys, that's all they'll know. Some folks, all they'll know about him is he's coming to take them home. That's all they know. And they may never know he also heals their body. Sometimes that's just what they know. You may be surprised that when some people talk about Spirit, Holy Spirit, all they think about the Holy Spirit is somebody who grieves their heart when they sin. Nothing about gifts, nothing about miracles, nothing about leading and direction. Why? They don't know. That's just what they have exposed their minds to. You know, there are some folks that don't know that they are God's children. But they know they are believers. And that perception will affect their behavior. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? Okay, so you can know Christ as the one who ascended into man, okay, wash your sins, and ignore a vital fact that was said consistently about him. See, if someone was alive, then he dies, then is raised from the dead, one of the proofs that he's still alive is that he will do what he was doing before he died. Who's following what I'm saying tonight? Okay, so his humanity is a vital element of what we preach. Look at Acts 2:22. And that's just all they know. In fact, If you, there was a boy. This is by the way, but it's relevant. A boy, he had gone to his cousins to have a holiday. So he's back home. So they were going to have a devotion, morning devotion in their home family. But his cousins attended a kind of church where they prayed a kind of prayer. Like kind of double M's, kind of prayer. So they now called him, "Oh, John, pray for us." So because of the kind of prayer he heard in his cousin's place, he said, "Daddy, fall and die. Mommy, fall and die. Auntie, fall and die. Everybody, fall and die." The mom screamed, "What are you talking about?" Because the family he had holidays with, they always said, "Fall and die, fall and die." So he felt it was the way you talk to God. Very interesting. So, I was joking with someone 2 nights ago. I said, you know, imagine a God that was seen as one who killed men came to the world to die. That's a contradiction. He came to the world to die, showing you he never killed. Hallelujah. That's for another day. So he goes, Acts 2, 22. Are you there? Are you there? Talk to me. You, are you there? "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs." A core part of the miracles and wonders and signs is the fact that he healed the sick. So God approved Jesus, it were, by his healing ministry. Look at Matthew 8. I'm going to just kick off Matthew 8 today and then build on it next week. But just observe this. Look at Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verse 16. "He is in the house of Peter." In 14 and 15. "And he ministered to the laid hands on the mother-in-law of the first pope. And so the first pope had a mother-in-law. I don't know whether he had a wife, but he had a mother-in-law. So he had a wife. So he touched her hands and the fever left her, and she rose and ministered unto him. Verse 16. "When evening was come, they brought unto him men that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, that himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." This is very misleading. Because you will think that verse 17 is explaining verse 16. No. Verse 16 points to verse 17. Because the verse that Matthew quoted is a verse about salvation and forgiveness of sins. But we'll take that next week. He says, "in view of," and that word is the word opos in the Greek. It means "so that you will see this as well." So he healed the sick in view of the fact that himself, and that word is the word plerothe in the Greek, which all many times supposes an action that had not taken place. So he healed the sick to show us that he will take sins on behalf of humanity. I will take that much more next week. So the healing ministry of Jesus, all right, is to attest to the fact that he will bear the sins of humanity. The healing ministry, And I will explain it a little bit more. The healing ministry, as much as it was authority over sickness and disease, was much more a show of the character of God, which was further proven in the death of Jesus. So his healing ministry wasn't acting like a doctor. His healing ministry was acting like a compassionate God, because he will die for our sins. He healed the sick to reinforce is disposition towards sin. Matthew 8:17 is not sickness. Physical sickness, no doubt. But Matthew 8:17 reinforces that he healed the sick in view of that he will take away sin and from us. Heal, I mean take away sin. Basically, that's that. So, is healing ministry further affirmed his office as Savior? You can't separate it. Is healing ministry further affirms that he will occupy the office of a Savior? We'll track that much later. Look at Matthew 4 before this. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease amongst the people. And his fame spread about, watch this, throughout Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases, torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Vital. Matthew 9, almost like a copy and paste. Matthew 9:35. He went about the Syrian villages, teaching the synagogues, Matthew 9:35, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So, healing was a vital part of the ministry of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Healing was a vital part of the ministry of Jesus. So it was almost impossible for him to have been raised from the dead and given a great commission without healing involved. Because if you're preaching about a crucified Christ who is now alive, we must see the proof that the man we saw a couple of days ago is still alive. He'll do exactly what he used to do. You lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Because he did that for 3.5 years or thereabout. So, Christ is Savior. Christ is also healer. He's not Savior without being a healer. Are you still there? Are you there? Many folks know him as taking the sins. So if you fall into a sin, or there's condemnation from the devil, or fear, or torment of tomorrow, or eternity, you just have a Christ consciousness. You say, why? To remember Christ died for my sins. You know, you just say 1 John 2:1, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, the righteous, who is the provision for our sins, not only our sins, but for the whole world. Ephesians 1:7. We have forgiveness of sin in his blood according to the riches of his grace. Oh, that's cool. That's the consciousness you have. But do you also have a consciousness that Jesus Christ is also a healer? I didn't say inhaler, amen. A healer. That is, it's his office, and he proved that sufficient enough for you to see it. You know, there's some guys when they play football, they score some good goals once in 10 years. But there's some. It's almost every time. They score almost all the time. Some will score in one goal in 20 games to take off their jersey. What if we now score the next game? Cool down. What we used to play set. Remember set? You know, play set? Set. Where you use your school bag for monkey pose. I use my school bag and I can't find it till now. You know, we used to call some guys, that guy is a scorer. You remember scorer? Not striker, scorer. Some will wear 9, but that's all to it. But scorer. He does it all the time. Now, Jesus healed the sick all the time that you had to call him healer. It now became a message that they preached about him everywhere. That was a rhema that went through Judea. Everybody was saying it. No wonder the woman, we'll see that later, the woman with the issue of blood, when she heard of Jesus. Now, she could have decided to hear other things. You can hear about Jesus, oh, that guy that's blaspheming against the law. And your mindset. And Satan understands information a whole lot. Someone said this to me and he blessed my heart. He said, Satan walks on negative publicity. That the moment he tries to discredit a preacher, he says, that guy, he uses somebody in authority to say, that guy is a heretic. He's leading people to hell. Now people are vulnerable, they hear it, they believe it. Every time they put on the television and see the picture, that's what they will be seeing. Sometimes, but we take care of that by two things. By prayer and by a consistent ministry of the word. So, this woman heard about Jesus. Now, she heard about Jesus. We know what she heard. Now, there were other things they said about him. But we know what she heard. Peter said the rhema that went throughout Judea was how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. What else went around about him? Who with power went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You can choose what you want to hear. But when you are sick as that woman, you don't care about his false doctrine. You don't care what he said about Moses. But you heard that men touched his clothes and they got healed. You heard demons were cast out. You had spent all your money on doctors who were criticizing him and you didn't get better. You've been to the Pharisees meetings and they were just talking about Jesus and they were also sick. So you tell yourself, let me touch his clothes. So she heard those things. So Jesus was known legitimately as a healer. Who's following what I'm saying tonight? He was known that way. And it's a fact of the gospel. So, he is the logos of his person, is what he said in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Romans 5:8, God commended his love towards us while we are yet sinners. John gave us a glimpse of it. John says in John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's not you and I, we're not there. Alright? You can say he walk where I walk, but are you sure? You mean, you know, you're an eyewitness. He stood where I stand, you know. No, I don't sing that. Because it's not true. Never been to where he was. He's never been here too. Maybe if I become a JP, I'll walk where he walked. So, John says that we beheld his glory. As of the Holy Begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace. They saw in his humanity that he was full of graciousness. Grace and truth. Full of grace. And he says, the law was given by Moses in verse 16. He says, 17, grace and truth came by Jesus. 16 says, of his fullness have we received. See how many times he uses the word grace for you to know that Jesus is a gracious, benevolent offering of God to humanity. Gracious, benevolent. So, healing demonstrates the grace of God. Healing demonstrates the grace of God. And so, that's what I said. It's not as much authority over sickness, but much more compassion for the sick person. Why did he have compassion? It's not difficult. He had compassion for sinners. So he had compassion for people's conditions. And that's important. So he goes and he heals the sick. In Matthew chapter 8. See the question he asked. He says, will thou? I will that thou be clean. In verse 3. I will that thou be clean. Because the guy said, Lord, if you will, thou canst make me clean. Is it your will? He said, I will that thou be clean. I want you to be clean. In the graciousness of God, that's what he wants. Again, the other fellow says, speak thy word only in verse 8, and your servant shall be healed. Jesus had said in verse 7, when the centurion came to him, I will come and heal him. There was no instance Jesus refused to heal the sick. Not a single instance. So in the graciousness of God, healing is a crucial part of what he wants to do. See, if God is a healer, Christ has to be a healer. Let me put it the other way around. If Christ is a healer, that means God is a healer. Christ heals the same way God does. Christ wants to heal all the time, the same way God wants to heal all the time. That's a vital truth. Because we beheld his glory. And what they saw in his glory was not his shirt. As we say today, see, the glory of God is wearing designer. Was not the kind of house he lived. He was the grace for grace. The fact that he wanted the sick healed. And he didn't care whether those folks would not even sit down for Bible study. Come on. That's not an excuse to leave the service. He wasn't saying, you know, they're not praying well. He was gracious about healing. He went about, if you observe, listen carefully now, Jesus went about. He did not sit in one place. He went about healing the sick. So grace makes the offer. And Jesus did that all the time. So he was a healer by compassion. By authority, no doubt, but also by compassion. He says, speak your word, and your servant will be whole. Just say it. Remember, in Luke 7, he says to the woman who was a prostitute, and he says, hey, verse 41, Luke 7. Your sins are forgiven. Many know this one. Verse 47. Our sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, to whom little is given. She loved a little. Or he loved a little. Same love a little. Thy sins, he says, are forgiven. You know, you can read all of this in the epistle, in the four gospels, and love it so much, and preach it so much, and not talk about the other things he said. It's the same person. Who says here that your sins are forgiven? Who say, oh, that's the character of God. He forgives sins. While he was being crucified, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Very consistent. But was that all he used to say? No. In Luke 5, two chapters before, hear this now. He is preaching. And see something, in verse 17, he was teaching, and there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. They came to argue. Something they came to argue. Which were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. They were there to argue. And you know, the signs followed them because they argued. Some people come for Christian meetings to just come and spy. I know. Go and check it out. Someone told me, he said, well, when I saw that my son was believing some very strong things, I came here to find out. That was years ago. He sat down throughout the service, crossed his legs. He's the King of Kings. So the service is over, he comes and he starts to analyze his sermon. I said, sir, I don't have this time. He said, I don't agree with what you said. I said, that's fine. I also don't agree that you should ask me questions. Why? You go, I go home. It's after church, I want to go home. Amen. Some guys don't know when you're finished teaching, you want to go home. That's when they want to see you. 11 sessions, camp meeting, Monday afternoon, you still want to see me? So I say, man, blood, blood, blood. Man smiling. He says, sir, you know, during the night session, as you laid hands on me, I saw something. I said, yeah. Wonderful. Many times I can't remember what I said. I just want to go home. So I say, what do you mean? Jesus just went to sleep in the boat. He slept so much, he didn't sense that those guys were afraid. They had to wake him up. There was no sensing in the spirit. Just sometimes you are hungry. Some guys don't believe you should be hungry. I'm hungry. Just want to go. So the man just came to ask me questions. I have some verses. They are different from. I don't have any verses. You don't believe? No problem. Go. I don't have to answer every question. So here's Jesus. He's teaching how the Pharisees and those of law. And they were there to argue. And they'll come out of every town of Galilee and Judea. Well, know something. The power of the Lord was present to him. Everybody knows that anywhere Jesus is, the power of the Lord is present. But those who came to argue would not know. Those who come to argue, if God, right, is incarnate again, and he wears a red hat, they will not know. That this is me. I am God. You just say, how? How can these things be? It's just like that. But then there were some folks who had to come through the roof. They came in. They tore the roof. They came down. And Jesus saw their faith in verse 20. He says, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And those guys started, you know, making a lot of noise. Then he says in verse 24, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch and go unto thy house. Notice, he said, their sins are forgiven thee, and take up thy couch the same way. That is, he used words to communicate the graciousness of God. That's what he did. So we find it in his word. Now pay attention to something. Now when they began to argue with him, he says to them, in verse 23, whether it's easier to say, thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. He uses the word easier, which means easy labor. It's used for labor. You find it used earlier on in Matthew 9:5. And I would look Matthew 9:5 and Matthew 19:24. What is easier? What demands work? To say thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. He's saying, it doesn't take much to say your sins are forgiven. In the other instance, he tells the man, rise up, take up your bed. Something had to be done. In the first statement, nothing had to be done. So he says, which is easier? If the man does not take up his bed and walk, he'll remain there. But you see, your sins are forgiven thee is one way. One way. It's easier. Which one is easier? To say your sins are forgiven thee, or rise up, take up your bed and walk. He says that to them. He uses words to communicate the graciousness of God. So, if his humanity unveils to us God's character, how he addresses sickness and diseases, how he sees those who are sick, is the same thing. In Matthew chapter 10, he's sending out his own disciples to go and preach. Matthew 10:1. He says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, let's keep the names, and then he says, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Then he says in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils or demons. Freely you have received, freely do you give. It became an integral part of what he was doing. You cannot call Jesus Savior and not call him healer. This is so vital to his ministry. In Luke's Gospel 9, he repeats the same thing. Same encounter, actually, Luke's account. He says, he gave them power and authority over devils and to cure diseases. In Mark 6, he goes to his hometown and he couldn't heal as much sicknesses as he wanted. In verse 4, Mark 6, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin and his own house. He said, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them, and marveled because of their unbelief. Now, that would presuppose that he just gave up, that dying of sickness and disease. But no. He went round the villages teaching. Some say teaching. So there's a cure. There's a cure to unbelief. Is to teach. Sometimes we just be patient. If people don't get healed, the compassion we have of God enables us to stay with them and keep teaching. Is that very clear? It shows that we're not using them for testimonies. He stayed in there and they taught. And he went about. Look at verse 7. Then he called his 12 and began to send them for two and by two and gave them power over unclean spirits in the same place. And then verse 13. Alright, verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. This could take weeks, alright? But they kept at it. Because when it comes to goodness, God is long-suffering with goodness. He stayed in there and he's teaching. And what happened in 13? And they cast out many devils and anointed the oil, with oil many that were sick. Follow this one. And healed them. So you know what he did? Well, if your problem is with me, I'll let others do it. But I just want you healed. If your problem is me, he taught them and then he gave his own disciples the responsibility to heal the sick. The most important is get the job done. He's that compassionate. It's not a show of strength. No. He sent them out. And they healed the same people that he marveled at their unbelief. He's so gracious. Say with me, he's so gracious. This is his work. No wonder when they were going to talk about him in Matthew 16, 12 and 13. Say, who do men say that I am? See, because of what he did consistently, some called him Elijah. Some called him John the Baptist, I don't know why. But then, others called him Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Because he displayed love, power, and they saw it. So, his humanity, which we have seen, and which we are saying, you know, is a vital truth about the gospel. A vital fact of his resurrection is his humanity. Shows us that he's gracious to the sick. He's not gracious to sickness. Amen. He's gracious to the sick. And he heals sickness. So you cannot have a ministry of Jesus today without a healing ministry. If you don't know anything to do in ministry apart from teaching, also know you are called to heal the sick. In fact, Paul had a double emphasis in 1 Corinthians 12. In verse 9, he mentions the gifts of healings. When he said he has sent some in the church, in verse 28 to 29, he mentions the gifts of healing and working on miracles all over again. So, it's a fact of the ministry of Jesus that he's a healer. Are you there? Say, Jesus is a healer. Say, Christ the healer. Say, Christ the healer. Hallelujah. Say, Christ the sacrifice for sins, the high priest of our faith, and the healer of sickness and disease. You know, it's the same person we're talking about. Say again, Christ, who baptizes with the Holy Ghost, He heals the sick. He forgives sickness and diseases. The same Christ. Yet we're not talking about somebody else. He doesn't have to go and change clothes to do one for another. No, he's in the same breath. Forgiveness of sins. In the same breath, he passes with the Holy Ghost. In the same breath, he heals the sick. He is Christ the healer. Hallelujah. You go to see that. John 1:18. You learn something? John 1:18. About healing. John 1:18. You know, we had mentioned John 1:14, John 1:15, John 1:16, John 1:17. Now look at John 1:18. He says, no man hath seen God at any time. Now this is not talking about revelation. It's talking about humanity. Not that nobody has ever seen God in the Old Testament. They were just seeing angels. That's crap. What he meant is nobody had beheld him as eyewitness until Christ came. People had revelation of God. Adam, if nobody had at all, at least Adam did. Praise God. John 1:18. No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. He uses the word, he says, the only begotten, which we know is monogenes, uniquely born of God. He says he is in the bosom of his Father. Of God, sorry. He's in his own bosom. The word is the word kolpos, K-O-L-P-O-S in the Greek. It's used for intimacy, something close to your chest. Used in Luke 6:8, shall men give to your bosom. In Luke 16:22 and 23, Abraham's bosom, that is close to Abraham. You saw Abraham and saw Lazarus in the same place. So the same way when you say he's in the bosom of the Father, you will see Christ in the same place as the Father. Are you still there? Are you there? So he says he has declared him. He is in the same place as the Father. He is found where the Father is found. Then he says he has declared him. Now he uses a peculiar word here, exegeomai. E-X-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. Now I want you to pay attention to this explanation. E-X-E-G-E-O-M-A-I is used for relaying an experience. That is, he has shown the experience of the Father. That is, here now, the humanity of Jesus is an experience with the Father. The humanity of Christ gives us an experience with the Father. No wonder he says in John 14, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He isn't talking about revelation there. He's talking about the high witness. So he's saying, the experience you have with me is the experience with the Father. So the healing ministry of Christ is not an addendum. It is an experience with the Father. The healing ministry of Jesus is not an addendum. It is a vital experience with the Father. The woman with the issue of blood experienced the Father. Still out there? They all did. Because he exegomai. He brings an experience to us by explanation. And so we saw it. So, see how Jesus is recognized. Second, Peter 1, 7. 16, 17. 2 Peter 1, 16, 17. Matthew 17, 5. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Again, language doesn't help. If I say, I am pleased with you, it will mean that you did something and I liked it. But that's strange, because why would God say that about Jesus in Matthew 3:17? Yeah, Matthew 3:17, where he hadn't done anything. Or Matthew 7:5, which you may say, well, Matthew 7:5, he had already healed the sick. But why would you say, in whom I'm well pleased? Now, the word well pleased is two words. E-U-D-O-K-E-O. Eudokio. Dokio means to appear. Or to appear to be. Or to, is used for thinking as well. To think well of. But stronger than that. So by saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well thought of. In whom you see me well. Not he has satisfied me. No. In whom you see me well. Hidokio. And that flows with the conversation. This is my beloved son. We beheld his glory. Are you following? The glory as one begotten of a father. So if he says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well seen, or I am well thought of. So it's not in whom I think well of. No, I am the one well thought of and well seen in him. Let me see if you follow this one. Come on now. So it's not Jesus satisfying the Father. It's the Father being satisfied in Jesus towards us. Alright, good. So he says, this is my beloved son, John 14:9. He that has seen me has seen the Father. So the healing ministry of Jesus is the Father's delight. That's what he wants to do. Praise God. So it's not an addendum or an extra. Or what do you call this thing when you eat and you have more? Extra. No. It's not an icing on the cake or top up. No. That is the Father's character being experienced. So healing is not a show of power. It is a show of character. Christ the healer. You see, Christ the Son of God. Beautiful. Christ God the Son. Son of God. Christ our righteousness. Christ our redemption. Christ our healer. Say, Christ our healer. Praise God. Say, Christ our healer. Over here, the pastor, I say, Christ my healer. No, no, not just my redemption, sanctification. No, no. He's also my healer. Because the Father is seen rightly in him. Pleased in him. And he went about doing good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So I do what I see my Father do. So the works that I do is my Father who walks in me. Hallelujah. Show me Christ the healer. Christ our healer. So we must see that in his ministry. His ministry, his healing ministry, reveals to us in his humanity the healing fact of God. In Matthew 15:26. A woman came to him and he says to the woman, he says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He's talking about the children's bread. The interesting thing about what he says here is that the woman now says, truth, Lord, some women are just very smart. Today, the guy would have taken offense and gone on Facebook. Arrogant guy. Are you the only one that can heal? You would just die in sickness. Or your daughter. She said, Lord, sometimes we don't know how to respond. Remember Anna? And as in temple to pray. And Eli is a terrible guy. He can't keep his kids on the check. You know, his kids do all sort of stuff. He said, allow them, they are young. And then Anna comes and she's praying. And then Eli says, you're drunk! You would have felt, this man of God, I thought he's a prophet. He should know things by the Spirit. Well, he didn't. You would have thought that that's not the person God will use, since he doesn't even know I'm praying. She responded well. Said, your handmaiden is not drunk. I'm only pouring out my heart. Some guys would have kept quiet and gone on social media and gone on Twitter. So, give me a note. Strange things in the last days. Ex-prophets. Elias lost it. And you're still looking for a child. She said, Lord, I'm only bitter, just want a child. And that's the man who confirmed our request, and she got a child. Sometimes it's just good to be intelligent. Be intelligent. Some responses we get a couple of times can be a test of our faith. Do you really want it? I mean, one time it's just your attitude. Remember Jesus in John 4. He says to the woman, go call your husband. You are just said, it's the only mountain you know to explain and worship in the Spirit. I know I was banned. So you rightly said, but the man you are with is not your husband. She was welcoming to him. Go call your husband. Okay, I'm coming. Where are you going? Don't mind that you're a guy. Which husband? See? Two different kinds of attitude. So sometimes you just, he tested my faith. Jesus told the woman, I will take what belongs to the children and keep it to the dogs. I'm not sent but the lordship of the house of Israel. That was enough for someone to go, rubbish. She said, Lord, yep. Dogs eat of the crumb. Which fall, we're still going to deal with it. I don't know why I'm talking about this today. It's not my sermon today, but I'm just saying it. Dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Wow. Hey. And he said, oh woman, great is your faith. Can we actually say, great is your persistence? Come on. Why did he see, what faith did he see in Luke 5 when those guys were brought through the roof? Confession or persistence? Persistence. Great is your persistence. Great is your attitude to receive. That's what he said. You know, she could have turned back and say, that guy is condescending. Remember? Naaman came with a G-Wagon. He flew in a private jet. G-Wagon took him to Elisha. He had all his escort, and they brought a lot of stuff for the man of God. They unloaded a lot of trucks with stuff, you know, for the man of God. He's leprous, but he knows how to spend money. So he says, man of God, we have things for you. The guy says, I don't want to see you. How many of you know that can get to you? I don't want to see you. Say, go and tell him. He didn't see him. Say, go and tell him to go and wash himself. Not in Sheraton, not in Radisson Blue, in Jordan. Say, go, just wash. They don't do it once, seven times. What? Just once? I thought once I wear my swimming suit, they just do it quickly and get out. Say, seven times. And the guy told the guy, this is what? Did you not tell him why? Who waste me? He said, well, he didn't ask you for money. Just go wash. You're already dirty. Go wash. He didn't get cleansed till the seventh time. What if at the third time he just said, if anything was going to happen, it would have been cleaning since. Nothing has even happened. You know, you just being stupid. This is not my Sabbath. I don't know why I'm going this way. I'm going to teach this later. But you know, there was also an attitude. And that attitude is called faith. Praise God. And so Jesus saw this in this woman. Praise God. I said, praise God. His incarnation reveals the character of God. Praise God. So I can readily know that God wants me healthy. How about that? I know He wants me healthy. I know He wants me healed. And it should never cross my mind that He wants something else for my physical body than healing. Kenneth Hagin will say, wrong thinking always produces wrong believing. And wrong believing will produce wrong speaking, and wrong speaking will give you the wrong result. Wrong thinking. To think wrongly about God. To think wrongly about what He wants. What He wants about the headache, the stomach trouble, the ulcer, the asthma, the cancer, the liver condition can never change. He doesn't change from person to person. He's the same from person to person. He wants everybody saved, everybody forgiven, reconciled, everybody healed. Praise God. That's Christ the healer. Amen. I said amen. 1 Timothy 3. Close here. 1 Timothy 3. Watch this. Paul, in 1 Timothy 3. He says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That's quite controversy. But look at the background in 15. In 15 it says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how you ought to behave in the house of God. Then it says, which is the pillar and ground, the church of the living God, sorry, the pillar and ground of truth. The word pillar is the word stulos. It means support. Where something gains ground. It gains support. Where, you know what he said? Your stronghold. The home base. The home base. Well, where he said home support. Man City had a lot of home support flags, lights yesterday. My God. Wasn't the pillar at all. And I'm happy. There's sometimes you're just happy. So he says, the pillar is the word stulos. Stulos is support. Then the next one he says, the pillar and ground, which is the word a building. And he changes the word to the word hudraioma. Hudraioma. Which is used for something that's firm. Where it is firm. Firm and unshaken and unchanging. The same word he used in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, immovable. Where this truth is immovable. Colossians 1:23. And what is this truth that is immovable? Verse 16. Without controversy. Don't mind the old King James. The word without controversy is actually with a joint confession. That's what it means. Not controversial. Amen. Is the word homo, is from the word homologio, which means to assent or agree together on a fact. And here he uses the word homologomeno, I'll spell it for you, M-O-H-O-M-O-U, or H-O-M-O, L-O-G-O-M-O-N-U. It means a common confession. He calls the truth of 15 a common belief, a common confession. What we all say and what we all have on our lips. He says, great is the mystery of godliness.
What mystery is something that is hidden? Then he says, God manifests. So that means he uses two contrasting words. Our confession is not the mystery. Our confession is the manifest. Are you there? The word manifest is the word phanero, phanero. It means to be visible. God was visible in the flesh. So a truth we uphold in our assembly is that that fellow healing the sick is God visible. God's intention is will visible for all to see. When he saw blindness, it was visible. When he saw deafness, it was visible. When he saw stomach condition, kidney diseases, paralysis, it was visible. God was made manifest. So the healing ministry of Jesus is the character of God. That's what he wants. He healed the sick, forgave. And God's manifestation is the incarnation of Christ. And something very prominent in that manifestation, which I went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I received Christ as the healer of all sickness and all diseases.